Hello again, episode 2 of the In Pursuit of Christ podcast. Today we're going to get right into it and share the gospel of the kingdom, or at least start to share the gospel of the kingdom from Genesis to right up until the time of Jesus. And so do you feel like, or have you ever felt like you don't know why you exist? Why are you here on the planet? Why is humanity here? And in particular, why am I here? The gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ explains that. It goes all the way back to before time, before creation, and it gives explanation to that question, which I think most people wonder about. So let's get right into it. I'm going to go right to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us. When he says us, he's talking about the ecclesia of God, the church, before the foundation of the world. So he's going back before creation. God chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So there's a will, God has a counsel, and there's a purpose. Genesis 1, 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, over the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping things that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female he created them. So you have these 7 days of creation. On the sixth day, God made Adam and Eve. He made humans in his own image. Genesis 2:7, this is where he actually forms them, and it either gives more detail or it's a later event where he actually forms bodies for these spiritual beings called mankind. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and he put the man whom he had formed there. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God makes creation. He preordains that there's going to be a people, a humanity, and they're going to be his adopted children. And then he go ahead and creates mankind in his own image. We are the image bearers of God. And he forms him a body. And he, a little while later, he pulls Eve out of Adam from her rib. You know the story. If you don't know the story, read Genesis 1. And then he places them in the Garden of Eden. And there's the tree of life there. And then there's another tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, you could eat any of the trees of this garden, just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we get to the fall in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the women saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And before this, Satan had come to her and spoke to her and tempted her, because he was on the earth already. Actually, it was as a curse for him. He was on the earth, and he he lied to her and he contradicted what God had said to them previously. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So suddenly there's shame and embarrassment. So God preordained that he would have a people, a family, according to his purpose and his will. And those people and those family self-destructed, and they turned from him. And that's the sin story. That people has now abandoned him. Adam and Eve have abandoned him and his purpose, because he is one with his purpose, and has brought about their own deaths. So from a spiritual perspective, they had just died. And not that they had ceased to exist, but spiritually they became dead. And so they were basically, at that moment, they had ceased to be what God had created them to be. They had left their purpose. They were no longer his image bearers. And they had knowledge of both good and evil. And you'll see soon that they frequently, and we frequently, choose evil now that we have the knowledge of both. So they've fallen, and they've also handed over their inheritance, the earth, to Satan by default. Because he's a superior being to them who is inhabiting the earth. He tricked them. They sided with him. Now he's the de facto ruler of the earth, and that's Satan. Okay, so we have the reproduction of Adam and Eve, and they were expelled from the presence of God. They are cursed along with the earth and fall under this jurisdiction of Satan. Tragic story, but it's important for us to understand going forward. Under his rule, people are becoming desperately wicked, far beyond what we can think of or imagine today. So Satan's in charge. Adam and Eve have reproduced and produced many, many children. And I'm going to fast forward through a lot of things that happened, like Cain murdering his brother Abel, and then Cain being cast out into the east, and he creates a city, a godless city, that many scholars think became Babylon. So the population is exploding. People at the same time are growing in wickedness. In Genesis chapter 11, then they said, so before this, you know the whole story of the Noah's Ark, and God judges the earth because it had become so wicked, and he preserved humanity through Noah and his children and through their wives. And so that, and then, you know, many animals were saved, land animals were saved, and you have the whole story of the Noah's Ark. And so jumping forward to a few years beyond that, we have the story of the Tower of Babel, which I think is important to understand the gospel of the kingdom, because it kind of explains the wickedness and the power structures, the principality and the power structures that are actually in the earth to this day. And it's important that we understand who's in charge where and how that came about. So Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, then they said, in speaking of the many people of the earth, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its height to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. So as you may have heard, God had told these people to disperse out into the earth, be fruitful and multiply. And here they're saying, hey, let's not do that. Let's build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches up to heaven. So they're trying to reach God in their own brilliance, in their own organization, in their own greatness. Let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one purpose and one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. So he is basically saying, look what these people are doing. They're united. there's nothing that's going to be held back for what they would be able to do in their own strength and their own greatness. Nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. So he's acknowledging that these wicked men and women are united in purpose and in their giftings, and they will be able to do great things, but it will be wicked because they are following the leadership of Satan and they're not submitted to the Lord. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. And so then, you know, in a moment, in a miraculous moment, God separated them by speech, by language. They could no longer communicate and no longer understand one another. So he split the nations up, and that resulted in them breaking up. And so there's these 70 nations and that are dispersed all through the earth. And God just decides that he's going to have one of them. And so he's going to create a people that are to be true to him and to be for him. And he, in Genesis 15, verse 6, you see it coming about that, and you're talking about Abraham, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of the Euphrates to the great river Euphrates. Genesis 17, 7 and 8, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout the generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And that was what was unique about Abraham's, the people that were to emerge from Abraham. And unique in that no other people on the earth were God's own, that belonged to God, were loyal to the Lord. They were all beholden to these other gods and to these demonic powers that were in the earth and that became to be known as the other gods that we even can hear about today. There's stories of gods, and there's seems to be this common theme throughout all of the different nations in the world, that there's this, you know, this God story, and they all have different gods, and they all would fight over their gods, and they recognize there's a spiritual power behind their lives that they can't control. And so the gods of the earth are really these fallen angels who were given ascendancy and rule after the Tower of Babel over the different people groups. And, you know, in Psalms chapter 82, it talks about, you know, these other powers and how they were cast down, and they were cursed, and they were, and he says they will die like men. You know, you can read about that in Psalms chapter 82 and in other places as well. So we have the nations dispersed throughout the earth, God immediately reaching out to Abram, making a covenant with him. Abraham results in the Hebrews, who are sent to Egypt, then taken out of Egypt after 400 years. And then you have the Moses story, and they were sent and brought to Canaan, and the nation of Israel results. And the nation of Israel was to be a blessing to the whole earth, through the house of God, through the temple system and the law and the Ten Commandments. We see this progressive revealing and foretelling of the Messiah and the coming kingship of the Lord on earth. And that was the point of Israel. They were to be God's people, set apart, unique, in the earth, in the midst of all these nations who were being ruled by demonic powers. And if you study history, this is not a stretch. You see all the gods and the religions of the earth. And it's crazy to think that, you know, all that would emerge simultaneously and all over different parts of the earth. You know, there's millions of gods and millions of cultures that, You know, there's often there's a common theme of sacrifice, either of animals or even other human beings. There's amazing similarities in too much to be coincidental. There's spiritual beings out there in control, and a lot of them are still in power and still an influence in the earth today. So the coming of Jesus Christ finally happens, and this is where it gets good, and everything changes, and you see an acceleration of God's plan and purpose, and he's recovering what he lost in the garden. No one really understood or fully understood what was happening when Jesus came. Even a lot of the demons who were in people who got around Jesus would ask him, "Why are you here? Have you come to torment me before our time?" So they knew what's coming. They know what's their future holds. They just didn't understand why on earth Jesus would be coming to the earth. And Jesus then, as you know, Jesus is killed on the cross, and he dies, and he foretells his own death, and he takes upon the sin of the world on him. And he not only takes upon the sin, but Jesus actually took upon humanity itself. When he died on the cross, the old humanity from Adam and Eve died. And that's how our sins are atoned for, the death of the old humanity. And so Jesus dies, he gives up his spirit to the Father, he is punished and cursed for the sins of humanity. And then 3 days later, his Father resurrects him. And in so doing, he's the firstborn among many brethren. He becomes the new creation. He starts the new humanity. He's the first one of the new humanity, the new man, the third race. Another word for it is the ecclesia, the church. And he instituted a new race of people, and that is the church. So Jesus finishes off the human race, Adam and Eve, right in the midst of the satanic, demonic nations that are being ruled by other gods. And you see that in Rome. You study the Gospels and you study the epistles. You see that these Christians are right in the midst of a terrible situation. They're right in the midst of a very hostile, demonic-controlled emperor and nation, and were being ruled by a plurality of gods, and they had their own names for their gods, and even their emperor was considered to be a god. So, you know, they were slaughtered, you know, just like Jesus. They were killed and they were murdered and unjustly, and you see this happening for generations. So I'm going to stop it there, and we'll pick up at Jesus and John the Baptist, and then we'll proceed into the New Testament. And so this is the start of the gospel of the kingdom. I hope I've laid a good foundation, and there's tremendous more detail that needs to be said if you really are interested and you want to know more, if you want to hear more. There's a book that I've been reading by Frank Viola. It's called The Insurgents. And it brings out tremendous more detail than what I am saying here, or what I could say in this format without it being 20 hours long. So if you want more details, I would recommend you get that book by Frank Viola, The Insurgents. But other than that, I look forward to episode 3, and thank you for listening or watching.